Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Question of all the podcasts, this one here is the best, sir. If you don't listen, you're the real LOS. Find out who won the battle match. Can't wait to see whose wig will Brent snatch.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Exit Interviews for week four of Sequester season four. Today we have two exit interviews because it was a double elimination, and they are going to be posted separately because there's two of them, and it was a bit long to tack on to an end of a podcast. So I actually brought Josh Wigler on, good friend of Shireen, to talk with Shireen about her elimination from the game. We had a lot of fun. And then I spoke with Rachel about her experience playing the game and tried to get some insight from her about the state of the game and everything else. So tune in. Thank you guys for supporting the content, and I'll see you on the other side of this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to an exit interview for Sequester season four with a special guest interviewer. Josh Wigler is with me. How you doing, Josh?
Taryn, what are you doing here, Josh? Because I'm like, hey, I don't know. You reached out to me, but it's got to be an hour and 15 minutes ago now.
That's like, how hey, we
come
do
on.
Things.
Come on down. I'm like, oh yeah. Well, I've run out of the clutch social anxiety excuse of like, oh, I've got a thing. No one's got a thing anymore. So I'm available. Sure. Why not? We're talking to one of my good friends. I want to be here for this. I'm down. I'm ready to go.
Yes. We can't pass down the opportunity to have Josh here as we talk to Shireen. How you doing, Shireen?
I am. You know, it sucks that I'm here this early, but I'm so stoked to have ripped Josh out of retirement for this. The world misses your voice in reality TV, Josh, and
I'm floating around. It's like, didn't Steven Soderbergh say he was retired from filmmaking and then he made like seven more movies? So I think I've retired from the Wiggle Room twice. I think I'm sure it'll happen again.
I'm telling you, I think we should do a Wiggle Room at the end of the season. Just
God. But I'm thrilled to be here. And I mean, I know, Taryn, we're going to talk more Sequester later, so I'll save my takes for it, but I'm having a blast. So, I'm stoked to be here, and I'm stoked to be talking to two of my friends right now. This is great.
Yes. Okay. Well, Shireen, what happened? This was a very sort of, this whole second half of the episode was like this big, massive battle royale of drama, and it got a little hard to follow at times. Can you tell me what happened with all this?
Sloppy, huh? Yeah. Some sloppy shenanigans going on here on the
I mean, the real problem is that we all really sucked at drawing names. So, you know, Brent, like the one thing he's good at in Sequester is drawing names.
and like battle match results that he has nothing to do with it.
I would imagine that he's decent at feeling someone's pulse.
Did you see the style?
He's got his fingers on the pulse of the game, quite literally.
That's the thing. He's reading. He's seeing if you're lying. That's why he's got the.
Are you alive? He's just checking. He's just making sure.
The thing for this round was, so it's true, like I wasn't lying, and I think, you know, they showed some footage of this, but Spencer had approached me the previous round asking if I'd be willing to work with him, and at that point I was looking ahead to trying to get rid of some of the bloaters. I was trying to like now switch it to getting rid of Brendan. I felt like that might be an obstacle and I would need other numbers for that, and Brent as well. Like, So Spencer approached me and I said, look, I'm still going to vote for you. This was in round three, but in round four, like, let's talk again and see what we can do. And so, so the round starts, I immediately, you know, called for people to come into the dining room. Like, everyone came, which I wasn't expecting, but, and then everybody was just like very open about who they got. So we all just said who we had and we figured out the, you know, the ring, and we had like some, gaps in it. So we didn't know who Spencer had initially, cause Spencer didn't come into the dining room. So then we dispersed, and the first name that went out was Brendan, because at that point Josh had Brendan, and we're like, Rachel, Billy and I, like, we were, there's no way, like, those were obviously my tightest allies. Like, you can't, like, I don't even know like what the right expression is for something like this, but like, money cannot pay, money cannot buy allies like them in a game like this. Like, and we were so tight that we knew we were getting 100% honesty with each other all the time. We knew that like we had each other's backs, like 100%. And so for me, it was like, protect these two women at all costs. I also wanted to protect Natalie, because at this point, like, everyone's picking women for battle backs. Like, this is, you know, I want to be women strong in this game. Josh, honorary woman of color. Love a good Josh. Josh, do we like the Joshes?
I want to save this take for the podcast with Taryn tonight. Okay, but I have a thing to say about Josh. So I don't know what Taryn, in which order this podcast comes out. Is this, have people heard the first one?
They probably have. Yeah. This is probably the end of, recap.
Okay. Got it. Well, I'm pretty sure I know this guy. I'm pretty sure we've met. I feel like I've met him at a know-it-alls once upon a time.
Wouldn't it be surprising.
Really familiar, but no, obviously, as a Josh, we always root for each other. Yeah. It's not how it's like very contentious among the Terrans. I know you guys really
very contentious,
you know, butt heads, but we Joshes stick together.
Billy also has a brother named Josh. Like, Josh is strong in this house.
There you go.
So it's like, we obviously like also loved Josh. Josh was like our other core alliance member. We didn't want to have to lose him, but literally, like, we, you know, hadn't figured out a pocket to slice out yet. Then Billy did her magic. She found out about Jacob and Spencer being linked. So she put the target on them. Everyone was good with that. And so for most of the round, I think everybody was in agreement that they knew and thought Jacob and Spencer were going to go. And then the question at that point was just like, now, how are you actually going to vote? Like, because a lot of people are going to be throwing their votes this round. For me, I could not vote for Brendan because it would totally turn Josh against me. And like I said, Josh is somebody that I was really tight with. It just would have been, war if I voted for Brendan there. Mm-hmm. And if I voted for Jacob, Jacob and I were actually like really close in the game as well. And I felt like he would have felt super betrayed and dragged me. But then I had this other thing going with Spencer. So I linked up with Spencer towards the end of the round. And I told him, I'm like, look, it's between you guys and Brendan. And so what I can promise you is that, like, if you really meant it in good faith, like, I will work with you. Like, I want to work with you. I was even naming names. I was like, I want to work with you to get Brendan out. Like, I want to hear your ideas. Like, I'm open, I'm fluid. And so I won't vote for you. And then you saw the clip of him saying, and don't vote for Jacob either. Like, hey there, buddy, chill out. Yeah. What are you doing for me other than insulting me and threatening me? So then, like, I was actually just really freaked out about like where my vote was going to go. And so, like, I had to go around like very intensely, like, who are you going to vote for really though? And like figured out like where the votes are being thrown. And my thrown vote opens the door for those guys to actually vote Brendan out if they wanted. Mm-hmm. Cause there were only three votes on Jacob.
Yeah. It was 3-2-2-2-1.
It was a big, it's all over the place.
Yeah. So Spencer and Brent are working together, and they were working together with Jacob as well. And Jacob has Marcelo. That's four people. That's all you need. If all four of those people voted for Brendan out, but also even if Jacob had just voted for Brendan there, it would have been a tie. Mm-hmm. And he didn't, because Brent tells Jacob to vote for Spencer. Go on, Taryn, explain that one to me.
Maybe I need Brent to explain it to me. Was it, so Brent was Brent in the episode said he was trying to save both Spencer and Jacob, but that obviously didn't work
so he tells Jacob to vote for Spencer, and doesn't he save them by having Jacob, by unifying the effort to put the votes on Brendan?
I mean, that is, he ends up voting for Brendan, right?
Jacob voted for Spencer.
Brent voted for Brendan,
oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Brent and Spencer voted for Brendan. I think Brent really wanted Brendan to be the one to go there. But he made Jacob vote Spencer. Like, he basically made Jacob, he threw Jacob's vote.
Mm. Was it like he didn't have enough time to get to Jacob? Like, it was like, oh, crap, I told Jacob the wrong thing and now we're doing this thing?
No.
No.
Do you have a theory? Do you have a theory, or can you not say?
Oh, yeah, no, I think that Brent is just terrible at this game.
Oh, man. Wait, so Jacob and Spencer end up being the two. Yes. And there is pandemonium is unleashed. Mm-hmm. Like, holy hell is unleashed. And your vote gets outed, and Jacob picks Rachel, Spencer picks you, and the whole thing is really, really tense. How accurate to life is the depiction of this whole sequence of events in the episode? Talk us through, like, what you were arguing and why it didn't work. And obviously, again, like, I am very pro Shireen, so I am super biased here. It would have worked for me, but even Jacob was like saying to Spencer, like, hey, like, definitely don't pick her. Like, we do want Shireen here. It'd be a really bad move to do this right now.
Yeah. I think for me, the whole thing was very accurate to real life, the way that it was depicted. I think that very little was cut from the scene. And it's funny because, like, when we were there in real time, it did feel like it lasted a long time, but it was so electric from the beginning that, for me, like, every single minute of that ceremony is very entertaining to me. But I think online, some people thought that it, like, dragged on a little too long.
It was long. It felt a little long. It felt a little aggro. It felt a little long. Yeah.
Yeah, I get that.
Look, people want to know what it's like out there, though, right? You know,
And so, like, you don't get the live feed. So
here's like the close to uncut.
Yeah.
You know, tribal council, eviction, whatever. Like, here it is. You like what you see? Or this is a little dangerous. Monkey's paw.
Yeah. I have a question. Like, so you are at the end there trying to convince Spencer, like, this is a mistake because I will work with you. Was that the truth, or were you trying to just,
it's
like,
100% true. It was 100% true. That is part of why I threw my vote.
Right.
I was trying to show him, hey, like, it was just like it was such a terrible, that twist at that point in the game was like absolutely the worst for me. And like, I absolutely meant it when I said it to him. And that's the other thing, is like, that was also my reputation in the game. And you see it coming through in this ceremony. I was very honest with people. Like, I was very upfront and direct. There was very little I had to lie about or felt like I had to lie about in the game. And that worked for me. And so that's like, and so when I'm saying that publicly to everyone, like, yo, I will work with you. That's like really, you know, putting a stake in the,
you're planting ground. A flag.
I'm planting a flag,
a flag in the ground.
Yeah. And this guy's fucking lucky that I was even offering that shit to him, because he was so rude prior, and he really was just targeting the wimp. Like, he was storming around the house like, I'm fucking tall and I'm going to physically beat anyone. And it's like, you know what? I've been
bragging about. Let me ask a question. How tall is he?
He's 6'4".
Yeah, he's tall.
6'4". I'm 5'2". He's over a foot taller than me.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure his height really helped him find
he's
those numbers.
He's almost a foot taller than me.
Yeah, I just wasn't. I thought I would have an advantage.
I'm so dumb.
Maybe it was a disadvantage because he had more space to go down.
Because the height he
further
has
away.
Higher reach to the bigger numbers? Finger, is that the implication?
Right. Yeah, sure. Yeah. Unreal. I'm missing out this whole time. Here
but truly, I did mean that I was going to work with him, and he knew it. And I think even in the end, when he even like resolves and says like, "I know, but I'm still picking you anyway," mm-hmm. like he knows that I'm going to work with him. And then I don't know what's going through his head in that moment, but he
is
did
this just like
to just like not care.
Is this like an obliteration of your crew idea here where like if you're out and Rachel is out and then Spencer comes back in and Jacob comes back in and it seems like people really like Billy and want to work with Billy. Does that like free her up and it just like demolishes the game to like demolish your alliance as opposed to like trying to like ding up a couple of different factions in the game? Like to, you know, if whether it's like put, you know, take Brendan out or whatever here.
I don't really think so because I mean it certainly frees up Billy because she was most loyal to us.
Yeah.
But also the game was very fluid. And I think that we were actually at this point of the game just trying to get like riffraff out of the way before we had to start making savage moves. Against each other, but there's very little to go off of when you're like trying to vote people out in the early rounds. And that's why like in round one, I did throw Josh under the bus like immediately because it was something very easy to do, get everyone on board with, because we have nothing else to go on. Then I felt really bad about that because I ended up bonding with him. And then I was like, well, who the fuck else can we do? You know? Yeah, those early rounds are tough for that reason. Like you're just fabricating reasons to vote people out. And I think that's like very telling about why certain demographics of people go early all the time in Survivor.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's just a scramble. Oh, you've only been together for like a couple of days?
A minute,
like,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Pick someone. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else, any final thoughts that you have for us before we wrap up here?
Final thoughts.
Anything we should know?
I'm trying to think.
Who's the funniest? Who's the funniest one?
Oh, the funniest? I mean,
let's do some superlatives. Funniest.
A tie between Billy and Josh.
A tie between Billy and Josh. You have to pick. You have to choose one or the other. Hey, did you know that Billy was the killer, or was that a total side swipe?
Yeah, we didn't find out.
You said you and Rachel and Billy, like, yeah, we're all locked in, all of us. We know each other, like we ride or die, but like was Billy like, yeah, but I'm also not gonna tell you that I was the
killer. She didn't tell
lock that down.
Anybody at all. We had Legendary. No idea. And it's because she felt so bad about it. I guess like she felt like she betrayed us and she didn't, even though
it didn't look like she felt that bad about it. Well, kind of looked like she loved it.
No, but she really loved, like, I can't tell you even like the bond that like, so that's another thing.
You could tell, by how upset she was when Muna left. Yeah. Just like, yes. That was the moment that I was like, oh wow. They were like
tight. Like, tight. Yeah.
Like we were super tight. We all really bonded hard in the first round. Like, Billy was my number one. And like, she and I had like shared some stories with each other that got real personal real quick in the beginning of the game. And, I mean, it was pretty, the start of the game was weirdly emotional. Like and she and I shared some stories. We cried a little bit even. And from that point onward, it was just like locked, you know? And then, and as the game went for me, like as the game went on, I got closer and closer with Rachel. Rachel became just like my bro in the house. Like she was my buddy. She was the person, that I knew would be like my like lasting best friend from this experience. And that was something also about getting voted out but eliminated at the same time, Rachel and I, like it really sucked and we were both really sad for each other. And, especially because we were both in such a good position in the game. We were working with a lot of people that we really liked, but to leave the game at the same time and to be on the jury together, was also just like a very special experience that is, you know, despite my jury resume, you know,
yeah,
it's nice having like a real friend. And we bonded super deeply through that as well.
I was going to ask you, what are some of the critical differences between Survivor, which you played 1.1 times, versus Sequester. And I can imagine at the, like, in terms of like the game and how the game is different. One is faster, one is shorter, one you eat chocolate or whatever you eat in the house. You have, showers, access to bathrooms and stuff. When you don't, there's the obvious differences. But the one that knowing you, I can tell is I feel like you had more fun with one of them. But can you speak to that a little bit as somebody who's now played both these games? I mean, you played a huge CBS production and now you're playing, like, you know, Audrey's Bootstrap Sequester, which is like very freaking impressive. Can you speak to the two experiences?
Yeah. So I think one of the main differences actually just comes from like a production standpoint, which is that in Sequester, when the rounds are over, we're not allowed to be communicating with each other. So we're like actually sequestered from one another and in silence for a lot of filming. Versus in Survivor, like when you're not like in a round, like your downtime is together and you're getting to know each other. That's your bonding time. And so like the window of time that we had to bond with one another was quite short. But that aside, one of the biggest differences I think is obvious just in the casting choice. Like this cast was so much more diverse than anything I'd experienced on Survivor. And so it didn't feel like from the jump I was like when I went on both of my seasons of Survivor, I remember having to approach it like, who's even willing to work with me? And it was like counting like to a minimum. And like, I never even got to like a majority, like from the outset, day zero, like sight unseen. Whereas like Sequester, I came in and again, you just like look at this cast and even the type of people who were cast were people who for the most part were willing to work with anyone. And there wasn't this like block for whatever reason that happens on Survivor. Just because there was, I mean, so much more diversity, there were three Black women on this cast and the three of them are so fucking different from each other. Like you've got, you know, Billy with her dreads and she's the rapper like wearing, you know, cool musician gear. You've got Muna, who is obviously like a hijab wearing Black Muslim woman, still like stylish in her own way, spoken word poet, like just like different kind of a vibe in that way. And then you have Rachel, who's just a fucking gangster, you know, like my joke with Rachel was I was like, she's the plain one who will fuck you up.
Yeah.
Like the horse head in your bed at night. Like that's Rachel. Rachel is just, you know, like she's like the businesswoman. She's like very direct, like has her shit to get. Not that the other two don't have their shit to get. I mean, you know, like, and that's the thing is, and they not only were they all three so different from each other, but they were all three very brilliant, successful people in their own right. You know, and they don't fit an archetype that we've seen. None of them fit an archetype that we've seen before. Mm-hmm. Which is phenomenal. Like, I feel like I was going somewhere with that, but, for me it was that. So a big thing with Survivor is like, how do you stand out less? And in Sequester, individuality was celebrated. Like people let you be yourself. They enjoyed entertaining people. Like, nobody was trying to hold back their personality. Like they wanted to showcase personality. And so like no one, like the whole like I think I said this with you, Taryn, was it, where I said like the most mediocre person in Survivor, like the mm-hmm. best mediocre person wins. I think you can see very clearly that that's not the case in Sequester. And like, even up until this episode, right, everyone was saying, well, Billy's throwing her votes, that means she's weak. Nobody in the house saw Billy as weak. Billy was very well liked. She's very, that's why I couldn't decide between who's funnier, between Billy and Josh, because they have a totally different vibe of funny. But Billy was very entertaining. And I think this was the first episode where we actually saw her. This is the first time we saw her get mad. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, and Brent like did not need to enter the fray of that argument. And he, it's like, what's that name? Like, no one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shireen and Billy are close.
Yeah, right, right.
Get them out. And then he called me a wallflower. Was he just mispronouncing wop flower? Did you guys see my earrings?
I did see
earrings. I did. They were dope.
But truly, did you hear him call me a wallflower? I'm like, which is it? Am I holding court? Or am I a wallflower, Mr. Famous Brent?
Yeah.
I mean, the ratings are good, though, huh?
Yeah, I mean,
for what it's worth.
We'll see. We'll see what happens with the ratings, I guess.
My gosh. But, Shireen, I never thought I'd see you in a reality TV context again. And it's, you know, I thought it would only be lunches and pizza dates for us. But to have a reality TV context again, this is fun. I like this. Yeah. I wish it went longer, but I thought you were crushing it out there. I thought you were doing great.
I think it was just last episode that I was like, I'm really looking at Shireen right now. I like her spot.
Yeah.
That's how Sequester does it.
I was so close to getting away with it, too. He picked Natalie, which is also a dumb choice for him. But like, I was like, well, fuck if it's not me.
Yeah.
But, oof, man. And then she threw me under the bus. Natalie. Yeah. But no, I had a great time. And that's another thing that I think people don't realize. Like, people are mad at Spencer because like he's obviously a dick. But
I knocked my mic over. Oh
my god. It's too good.
But like, but you know what? Like, and Josh, I think maybe you can help me speak to this. Like, I don't think he's Survivor level dick. Like, I think he's just like an ignorant, dumb kid, you know, who like, and it, like, is it toxic masculinity and shit like that? Yeah, sure. But like, I don't know. I assume that Big Brother also has like, I don't think Spencer is an evil person. I think he has just made a lot of very bad choices and like, doesn't know better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I feel like he's come in with like a couple of quotes. He's not here for coronation.
I'll tell you. No coronations are going on.
Not even his own, as it turns out.
Yeah. So I don't know. Probably nice guy.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think he's nice enough. Like,
yeah, nice enough.
Like that's the, yeah. There are a lot of Survivor players who are like actually, like, I can't even hold a conversation with them, because there were people even on my Second Chances cast who all the time were like tweeting shit about how on both my casts, what am I saying? Just my second, both my casts. It's just more surprising for my Second Chance cast tweeting that all Middle Eastern immigrants are terrorists.
Right.
And I'm like, and then you call them out and they like were louder and prouder about it.
Right.
You know? And then they'd be partying with each other. Like, you're like, now all of a sudden it's cool to like call out Anna Kate, and Joey Amazing and these people.
Yeah, even God's doing it. I don't know if you saw God call out Anna Kate, but that happened. Tweet of God.
No.
That was great. That was fun. That was a good day on Twitter.
Oh man.
No, I hear your point though. It's really interesting when, for me, as somebody who's very new to this, this world, it's interesting to me, like the scale of the operation and then the quality of people, the ratios on that, I think is fascinating. So I'm still unpacking that for myself, but I hear what you're saying for sure.
Yeah. And again, it's really hard to qualify, you know, how bad a person or whatever, right? Like this stuff that I'm talking about is, it's hard, to unpack, but I can only tell you for myself that I wasn't afraid to be around Spencer. There are people to this day that I'm afraid to be around from my first cast. That's not a joke at all. Yeah. It's truly like I wouldn't physically want to be around them. I'd be afraid.
Yeah.
And like, that is just not true of any single person who was on this season of Sequester, including Brent fucking Wagamon.
I feel like I'd be afraid that he's gonna like grab my hands. I mean,
I gotta be honest, before, I would be afraid to be around Brent. Yeah.
You should just be afraid for your eardrums. Did you see there's one episode where I was like sitting, I don't even remember doing this. I was sitting next to him and I was like,
yeah, it's loud.
He's just very loud.
Yeah.
I can't throw stones about the volume thing. I'm not about to do that, but simultaneously. I hear what you're. Can I close out with one last one? Then I actually have to go for an interview. So you can't decide between Josh and Billy who's funnier. How about between the two Joshes, though?
Oh, Josh Wiggler.
Yeah,
you got this one.
See you later, Sequester Josh. I'll see you at a future KIA for our comedy showdown, SmackDown. Yeah. Cool.
Last comic standing, last Josh standing.
Josh standing.
I'm ready to go. All right. Let's do it.
All right, Shireen, thank you so much for
thank you so much for your time.
Oh my god, oh boy, all right, thank you guys for listening. We will probably have my interview with Rachel right after this.
Say hi for me.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Hello, everyone. I am back here with Rachel to talk about her experience playing Sequester. Rachel, how are you?
I am doing well. How are you doing, Taryn?
I'm doing well as well. Not happy to be talking with you this early, but it's happening. Tell me about your experience playing Sequester. Was it like you've made it to episode 4? And this was this double elimination round. I can't imagine that this is what you were hoping for this round with the withdrawing the names.
Yeah, honestly, I felt good about the name I drew. So that was a plus. But honestly, at this point in the game, a double elimination was the worst possible situation to be in, because I felt like really close with my alliance members. And we all just had a really bad luck in the names that we pulled. So it made for quite the sticky situation.
Yeah. So you decided to go with Jacob, and it seemed like, correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed like you were somebody that was not throwing your vote at all throughout the game. You were just straight up, you'd vote for the person that you wanted out. And it had worked for you up until this point. But when it came to Jacob, it seemed as though he kind of felt like he was betrayed. Can you tell me more about your relationship with Jacob in the game? Because I it seemed like you were working together, but it wasn't always clear how close you were.
Yeah, I mean, we were definitely working together, but I didn't feel particularly close to him. He didn't really ever give me information. It was more so he was working closely with Billy and Muna and Shireen. So I felt well protected from that standpoint. I didn't really trust him. I thought that he was talking a lot and building alliances with a lot of people. And I was more on the middle to the low end of that. So I didn't really feel like we were super close. And I thought that was made clear from the way that I communicated with him.
Yeah. So do you think he made the right call choosing you then?
In some, yeah, I think that there's an element of him wanting to choose me, and it made sense. I think his rationale was probably more so he wanted to have, in his words, the best odds of getting back in the game, which is a whole nother story. But I think he made the right move. And ultimately, it goes back to the first time we had the conversation, and I am pretty petty. So I think from my standpoint, he lost a lot of respect with that speech that he gave. And, you know, we'll see what happens from here.
Okay. Something that I've been wanting to ask you about is that from episode one, it seems like you have not been the biggest fan of Brent. Can you tell me more?
Are we really going to use our time to talk about Brent?
I mean, what I want to know. We don't have to.
Oh, man.
I just figured it seems like you have a lot to say.
Oh, people don't believe me, but I'm telling you, everything I've said about Brent is true. You just got to meet him
people
in person
don't believe
to understand. I don't know. I mean, they didn't believe me about the close talking in the beginning, but boy, were they proven wrong. I think Brent and I just don't vibe. I think we're very different people, and I'm not really quite sure what his objective was in this game, but working with other people and building relationships certainly wasn't that. And I think that was very clear to me, and he wasn't somebody that I wanted to protect or keep in my corner. I don't really enjoy the way he interacts with other people or treats other people. And yeah, I just wanted to stay far away from that.
Yeah. But it seems like you managed to hide it from him pretty well.
I don't think I hid anything. I think that all has to do with his self-awareness and absolutely nothing to do with me. I think, you know, my body language, everything I was saying, I don't even know what to say. I'm at a loss for words, honestly.
Yeah. I love it.
I mean, what? Like, are these crazy thoughts? How do you feel?
No, they're not crazy thoughts.
Oh man.
I mean, it certainly seems as though you're not exactly alone in your opinion here, in terms of the other people that played with him. Like every time he tries to work with someone, they're like, I don't trust this guy. This is crazy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So, okay. Let's say that this round goes a different way, or maybe it just doesn't happen or something. Let's say that you, Shireen, and Billy survived this round. What was the plan moving forward? I imagine that you were planning to stick as a trio. You were not planning on betraying each other. But like, what was the plan for the three of you moving forward?
Exactly that. I think that from my perspective, personally, I was never going to go against either Shireen or Billy. I felt very strong with them. I thought we built good bonds personally, as well as in the game. And I would have stuck with them through the end.
Did you have specific people, you know, let's say Spencer and Jacob lose the battle match. Okay. Is Brent the next target? Is Brendan the next target? Who's the next person to go after?
You nailed it. It would probably be Brendan, honestly, because he was throwing his vote the majority of the time. And I didn't quite understand, you know, I didn't have enough trust with him that he was going to use his vote correctly to help us. So it probably would have been Brendan followed by Brent. Mm-hmm.
Okay, tell me a little bit more about this detective round where unfortunately for you, the killer ends up being one of your closest allies. Did you get an inkling that maybe it was one of your allies?
Honestly, no. I think Billy played that round perfectly. Yeah. I was totally like I played right into her hand. So, you know, she did a fantastic job of distracting as well as avoiding me and us for the majority of the round that, yeah, I definitely didn't see it coming.
What, after your final guess, did you like, were you like, it was definitely Brent or Josh? Like you just kind of went on thinking that until you eventually found out?
Yes, that's correct. Oh gosh.
Were you concerned about this? I mean, the fact that so far, up until episode four, the first three people eliminated have all been people that were chosen for the battle match, not people that have been voted out. This throwing the vote thing was seemed to be a big issue here, especially in the fourth episode. And as I mentioned before, you were somebody that was always pretty straight up with your vote. You just voted for the person you wanted out. Did you ever consider another strategy when it came to that, worrying that, hey, I might be pulled into a battle match and that has not worked out well for people so far?
No, I still was going to vote the way I said I was going to vote the whole time. That was something that was like really important to me. And I also didn't want to be somebody that was afraid of a battle match. I think ultimately, in order to win the game, like you're going to have to go into a battle match at some point. And I was okay with that. I was just bummed that I was robbed of that with Spencer, because I definitely wanted to go in and beat him more than anybody.
Do you think you would have beat him?
Yeah, I know I would have beat him.
Oh, yeah. Didn't you? What was your score?
I think I had 11. With the score he got, he would have beat me, but he wouldn't have beat me. Let's just go on record. He would not have beat me.
It would have been different. You would have been in his buckets and
exactly.
Yeah. He would have been, it wouldn't have worked out right for him. Tell me about this like 18 minute long escapade of like, who am I choosing? Whereas for me, it felt like it went on for a long time. Did you feel that in the moment, or did it go by faster for you?
No, I felt it in the moment. Mostly I felt it when Jacob and Spencer were talking. I was almost like, all right, come on, people, let's speed it up. Like, right. I don't know what they're doing right here. But when Shireen and Billy were talking, I was like, more, get the mic, let's go. I'm all for it right now. Where's the popcorn?
All right.
And then Brent just had to open his mouth. You know what I'm saying? So no comment there.
Yeah. So obviously there's a battle back. There's some sort of return. But not knowing what is going to happen there, we had a cliffhanger. Can you tell me at the very least, like what was your overall sort of takeaway from the experience? Was it a positive experience playing this game? Did you enjoy your time?
Yeah, I had a blast, honestly. Like, I loved being in a new sort of environment, meeting new people, challenging myself and stepping outside of my comfort zone. I think this is something that, I was somewhat underprepared for, and I just wanted to go in and like have a good time and meet people and play my best. And I feel really good about the experience. I feel proud of what I did, and I had a blast.
I actually just thought of another question, because this is just a personal, I've just been very confused about where Marcelo is in all of this. I feel like I haven't gotten a confessional from him explaining like what he's doing. Do you know?
Do you think he knows? That's a bad question.
It's hard to know. See, from my perspective, watching that episode, it felt like he knew that Jacob was going to get voted out and kind of like let it happen. But that's kind of contrary to the last time we heard about his relationship with Jacob. And so I felt like if that did happen, we would have heard about it. But I don't know.
My opinion is yes, that he did know it was going to be Jacob. I was quite confused, watching that episode back, how the votes even fell where they did, because it sounded like these men that were really well aligned had the numbers and somehow failed to execute on it. From my perspective, I mean, the one thing that we know is that Jacob and Marcelo are super close. Brent and Spencer have worked together in past rounds, yet the four of them didn't come together to vote together, and they would have had the numbers had they done so. I do think Marcelo knew the votes were going on Jacob. I'm not quite sure why he put his vote on Billy.
Yep. What about like just in general, like his placement in the sort of structure of things? Because it felt like for a while there, for a couple episodes at least, it was, it was Jacob, Muna, Marcelo, you, Shireen, Billy. That was mostly the group, I think. I don't think I'm missing anyone. And then when Muna leaves, it kind of feels like there's a bit of a separation, because she was maybe the glue that was holding you, Shireen, Billy, to Jacob and Marcelo. And so is that kind of what it was at this point, that like Jacob and Marcelo had kind of been separated from you three?
From my perspective, personally, I felt good with Marcelo, up until this round. So I felt good about him and felt like we were allies and we had each other's backs. Yeah, that's how I felt.
Okay. Good to know. Well, thank you so much, Rachel. Is there anything else that we might be missing, that I might be missing, that I should know, that we should know, Any final thoughts?
No, I'm just really excited for 2 weeks from now. So hopefully everybody tunes in and watch the next episode. I think it's going to be a really, really entertaining one.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Thank you to the audience for listening or watching, whatever you're doing. And we will see you guys later.
Thank you.
And there we go. Those are the interviews. Hopefully you guys enjoyed those. It was a lot of fun talking with Shireen and Rachel. If you want more Sequester content, we will be back 2 weeks from now when Sequester returns on January 3rd. And we'll, of course, have a recap the following night with probably some more exit interviews at some point. You can also find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taren or on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taren. Armstrong, where I actually watch the episodes live as they drop to get live reactions to what's going on. And it's many moments of me going like, oh, Brent, what are you doing? So check it out. Thank you guys once again and see you next time. Sequester.